You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. My name is Emeka, and I'll be interviewing a variety amount of professionals in the real estate industry to help you get 1% closer to your goal by your next real estate investment. My goal with this podcast is to show the world that regular people like you and me can buy real estate to build wealth. At the end of each podcast, I'll be giving 3 actionable steps that you can do today to get to that goal. Today, we have Taylor Billman. Taylor is a multifamily real estate investor and business professional. He is the founder and principal of Cardinal Real Estate Services, LLC, focusing on multifamily real estate. Taylor has been investing in real estate since 2017 and has worked in building material distribution for nearly a decade in 3 metropolitan markets. Taylor and his wife, Monica, enjoy traveling in their free time and are both committed to an active and fit lifestyle. Taylor and Monica have made their fair share of swag to be through 2 living flips. With love of food, wine, and good bourbon, they plan to open a distillery and winery in the future. Taylor enjoys spending time with his family and friends. Some of his hobbies include hunting, photography, skiing, scuba diving, and other water sports and adventures. Taylor, want to tell the world a little bit about who you are, what you do?
Yeah, thanks, Micah. So my name is Taylor Billman. Been in commercial real estate since 2020. Started in real estate with my first live and flip in 2017. And have kind of been interested in real estate since as in high school, really. And full time, I sell building materials. So we do distribution. We buy, warehouse, and distribute building materials, wallboard, drywall, insulation, metal framings, wood framing, acoustical ceilings, touch quite a bit of different areas of the building materials. And I think that goes hand in hand well with real estate. Pairs up good with that. Definitely get to utilize the discounts on some of the renovations, which work out well. But yeah, so what first, I guess, got me interested in real estate was my dad had bought a rental property when I was in high school. And, I helped him out, painting and doing a couple of different things. Learning a little bit of the sweat equity. And I remember the one time he said to me, they'll make more material items such as like cars, clothing and other manufactured things, but they won't make more land. So that really planted a seed in me. And, I really dove into learning about real estate and, figuring out what kind of real estate I wanted to get into over the next, 10 years. I would say there's a lot of limiting beliefs in the beginning of, I need to be super successful in my career, make a lot of money, and then I can get into real estate. Because early on, I knew I wanted to be in commercial real estate, not just, residential or something like that. So, yeah. And then I realized that it is a lot easier to start with residential and roll and build into it. So in 2017, bought my first live and flip as a townhome, forced the appreciation on that, did a cash out refinance on that property. And that was my first experience with cash out refinance and realized the power of that vehicle. So I had some money and I was like, all right, do I go buy duplex or triplex? Or do I go buy my next live and flip larger single family? And then when I sell the property, then I'll roll right into commercial real estate of like a 5 unit or 6 unit, which is what I ultimately ended up doing. So then in 2019, we bought our second live and flip. And then in 2020, sold the townhouse and bought a 6-unit in the same county that I live in. And we actually closed the day that Pennsylvania, or the day after Pennsylvania shut down. So I was freaking out. I was for sale by owner, and the buyer's agent, I called them. I said, "Hey, are we going to close?" I saw that real estate agents just, got on the ban list basically for working right now. And they're like, and she said, "I don't care if you're in your vehicle and we're in our vehicle, but we're going to close this deal." So yeah, we closed the sale on that. And then I immediately started calling prospective, multifamily sellers, and ended up getting one on the phone maybe 2, 3 weeks later that showed some interest. And the first thing they asked was basically, "Why do you want to buy real estate right now?" And I said, "Why not?" And I mean, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, when there's blood in the streets, that's when you need to buy. That's when you need to buy. I didn't say that to her, but yeah. So then since 2020, have been owning and operating that property. Made a lot of offers on properties since then, but after COVID, things have gone a little crazy. So got into that 8-unit earlier this year with a couple other MIH members, this is turning out to be a great deal.
No, cool. You said a lot there. First and foremost, you said you got into real estate a little bit early, like in high school, because your dad planted a seed. So you wanted to get into commercial real estate first. Why did you want to do that to begin with?
I think looking into different real estate avenues early on, some of the educational material that I found made it seem like the commercial end was more lucrative, or was really seemed to be the trajectory of a lot of people, where they ended up in. And I knew I wanted to be in that space, so it was all, and I think that was part of my limiting belief. I was like, all right, I want to commercial properties, whether it's, strip malls or, buildings downtown, kind of thing, like office space. And then once I dove into it a little bit more, realized that multifamily can also be, a commercial avenue, and it's a lot more stable, I guess you could say. That's what really, drew me into the multifamily space.
No, cool. And then you said you want to do commercial, then you started off with residential because it was a little bit lower barriers to entry. So on
Yep.
that first flip, how are you calculating, how much you needed to put into it to sell for a certain amount? And also, how are you determining, like, oh, I could probably sell it for, XYZ?
I mean, basically looking at rental comps. So single families basically come off of comps in the area. So if I look at different comps in the area and I say, okay, the price is gonna, I can sell this property at 170, and I buy it at 100, all right, I can put in 20,000, and then there's a $50,000 delta there that you can make on the property. So that's the basic simple aspect of multi, or I mean a single family residential. And the 1% rule, if you're gonna buy and hold the single family, you always want to do that. You want to get, 1% in rent of, your cost of the property or value of the property. So yeah, I mean, that was it was pretty easy to see that. I mean, I would say the hardest thing was the sweat equity part, because I did all of the renovations, myself with the help of, my father or and father-in-law, and my wife now also did a lot of help me, painting and stuff. She's a much better painter than me.
I'm sure. You talked about your goals now that the seed's already been planted and you have a portfolio now. What's your 10-year goals from now?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like to be in a lot more units in 2020. I kind of gave myself a goal of 2020 units by 2030. So it's pretty lofty goal, which, I think, if I keep compounding and rolling it forward, it's good possibility. So, and then ultimately, I'd like to be in the development space, developing multifamily and commercial properties.
How are you going to do that? A goal without a plan is just a dream. So what are your action steps to get there?
I mean, I think joining a mastermind was a big part of it. I've always been a big proponent of, proximity is power, surrounding yourself with the correct people, and you never want to be you're the smartest person in the room. You always want to be learning from other people. So joining a mastermind and learning from people that have been there and done that, and have that many units or more, was probably the biggest thing. Ever since I got into commercial in 2020, I was interested in joining a mastermind of some sort, and I vetted a couple different ones. And in, what was it, 2022, I think, my sister and brother-in-law joined MIH, and I met a lot of people in MIH in their first year in the program. And after going to the Ponte Vedra event in Florida and meeting everyone down there, I just knew that this was the multifamily mastermind group that I wanted to be a part of. And yeah, I mean, I think just it's gonna keep snowballing from here. I have some other deals that I'm looking at right now. There's a 5 unit that I'm trying to get from someone that I've been talking to for the last two and a half years now. She said she's finally ready to kind of go through with it. And there's also some commercial properties that just came up locally that I've been looking at. So we'll see.
Cool.
Yeah.
We spent a good time talking about how important the mastermind was. There's some viewers listening to this podcast or watching right now saying they're thinking that they want to do everything themselves. They want to build their own business. They want to build their own empire. And even if it takes them a lot slower, they'll go alone. Do you think that's the right mindset? And why is having a team or coaches so important for you?
Well, for me, since I still have a W-2, it's important because, then I can kind of lean and leverage, the other people's mastery in certain areas versus mine. And then also, the time balance, we can all split up different tasks across the team. And some people are going to be better at asset management, some people are going to be better at deal finding, some people are going to be better at capital raising. And when you can bring all those skills together into one group, you can have a really powerful group to, drive it forward. And I think as far as whether someone goes in that direction, having partners or doing it themselves is really their ultimate goal. I know some people who have, 400 some units that have basically built that, and it's they're all their units, and I think it's really impressive to be able to do that too. But you can definitely leverage and get into a lot of different markets, when you bring in partners.
What's your duty on your team?
So for the unit, I'm helping with the construction side of it. So with the construction background, I also, have a lot of contacts with contractors. So helping line up and coordinate contractors. And then also, some.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
That asset management, And then as far as like the direct to seller, I would say that's, I do a little bit of that with Clover Key Capital, which is owns Z Michaels Real Estate Group. And then I do, broker outreach there. And then I'm also looking for things in my local market for Cardinal Real Estate Services. So basically anything that I'm gonna self-manage or, by myself, I want to have that, probably within 20 to 30 minutes of my house or, my daily route, basically. And then anything outside of that, I'd probably end up, partnering up with people on.
What's your criteria?
Yeah, it's pretty broad. I would say under 50 units. I would say once I get, I would say, okay, I would say under 60 units. I just had R pull me a list the other day and I said 60 units and under. So that would be the next move to, get something closer to a 60 unit, 40 unit, 50 unit, something like that.
So let's play a hypothetical here. So let's say, you talk to the owner for a 27 unit out where you are. What are your next steps after the owner tells you that he's ready to sell to you right now and only you? What would be your next phone call or the next step to get that thing closed?
Did I, well, I definitely want to see how it's performing, get the financials and see, what the property is looking like, how it's operating now. Would want to also, see the property. And then, once I kind of gather that data, then I can figure out what I can, buy it for. And then based off of, the seller, if he still agrees, continues. And, I'd probably reach out to our mastermind group and see, who would want to, partner up on the deal if they had the opportunity. Probably go to my sister and brother-in-law first. And then, yeah.
That's cool. So a lot of people question, like, okay, how are these people getting these things funded? What is your primary source of funding?
Yeah, I mean, depending on the size of the deal, on a smaller deal, I'd probably be able to self-fund it. But on something larger, like a 27 unit, would probably want to bring in some other partners in a JV venture. If it's in my local market, I'd be the boots on the ground. I found it outside of the market. I'd want to make sure that someone in the JV would be boots on the ground there.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about what your portfolio is right now?
Yeah, so the 6 unit in my local market, and then this 8 unit up in the Wilkes-Barre market, which is maybe 2 to 2.5 hours from here.
And if you were to start all over and do it all over again, would you do anything different? And if so, what would it be?
I would definitely invest earlier. I would get into residential, single families a lot earlier. Probably try to figure out how to do it while I was still in high school or, right out of high school. And, I went to college, so if I could figure out or if I had really dove into it in college, I think that would have been the best move.
For those college students listening right now, what would be the advice that you give them as we speak?
Educate yourself in real estate. And position yourself, don't, as soon as you graduate, save that money, obviously pay off student debt, whatever your obligations are. But if you have the opportunity to get into real estate, buying the apartment that you're living in versus renting out, to someone else, you're going to be further ahead. And if you can house hack and rent out to other students at the same time, you can live there for free and still get your debt pay down. So, yeah, connect, network.
What would you say is the biggest myth once you got into it that you found out?
Well, yeah, so I guess one of the big things I see with new real estate investors would be that maybe they don't understand the underwriting part of it correctly or fully. Maybe they're buying properties over what they should have, and then, they end up not making money on the property or, losing money. But at the same sense, you're learning a lot from those mistakes and experiences. Could you be a lot further ahead if you didn't have to, bite the bullet on that deal? Yeah, of course, but that's going to save you on a future property, I'm sure. So, I mean, there's some pros and cons there, but I've definitely heard quite a few people, in their first properties, they don't buy it right, don't realize the comp situations, or they think that they're going to get more than they can, and then they end up having to, like I said, lose money or not make money on the deal. And as far as like for me, one of the biggest issues or setbacks that we had was when we bought the not when we bought it, but when we went to do the refinance. So the bank originally said we could pull out probably 200% of our money on this deal, and then we didn't realize that they partner with all these other credit unions on all any of their deals. And with COVID happening, they're inundated with a lot of PPP loans, and they ended up not finding another bank to partner on this deal. So they said, okay, well, we'll honor the amount, but you're going to have to pull a line of credit after you file your taxes this year for, like 3/4 of that amount. So we were only pulled out maybe, I don't know, like 60% of our capital. And then we had to pull the rest in the line, which kind of held back our velocity, I would say, because we were going to roll that right into another property. But then with the bank making us wait that extra time to file it and pull the line for the balance of the equity that we created and gained, that by that point the market was pretty insane, and a lot of our offers, were just being outbid, and people, in my opinion, were overpaying for stuff. And I think, you see it, and a lot of other people in the multifamily market sees a lot of these issues where people bought properties thinking they're going to appreciate more and things like that, and then rates were going to stay down or come down, and now these loans are coming due, and there's some issues with people what they can afford or pay for. So we see a lot of properties going into bankruptcy right now, unfortunately.
And I love they said that because we can't really ever time the market. And the 08, 09 is why some people till this day don't trust real estate and don't think it's a good investment. How does one prepare for the unexpected when you're underwriting in real estate if you don't really know what's ever going to happen in the future?
I mean, I would say definitely stay conservative in your underwriting. It kind of goes back to, what I said about the single family, and a lot of people getting into the, properties that weren't, they didn't buy it right. They're a little more bullish on it than, you would think. And, if you write conservatively and the property cash flows and you can make money, and then you end up performing better on the property, it's just a home run. But if you're bullish on the property and you're writing just at the bare minimum margin or like the break-even point, if anything goes wrong in the economy, that your equation flips very quickly, and you're in the negative on it. So I would say write conservatively. Don't buy something outside of your box.
For sure. With that, we move on to the next segment of the show where I ask everyone the same three questions. Question one, what are the two books you recommend the aspiring investor to read?
So everyone says Rich Dad Poor Dad, that's like a staple book you know, if you're, I mean, if you're an aspiring investor already and you kind of are interested in the space, you know, I think Rich Dad Poor Dad, you know, it's definitely a good book to read, but I think you already kind of have the mindset a little bit. But there's another book I have right here, which was one of the best ones that I think I ever read, was The Complete Guide to Buying and Selling Apartment Buildings by Steve Burgess. That
Okay.
kind of consolidated all of the information I learned about multifamily over, you know, a 3-4 year period. And I wish I would have picked that up earlier, because everything I needed to know and all the parts and pieces were perfectly outlined and highlighted in that book.
Cool. What was the most impactful speech or lesson that impacted you and your career?
Probably what my dad said, you know, years ago, and kind of drew me into that direction of real estate, was, you know, they'll buy more, or they'll make more material things, but they won't make more land. So buy land.
Love it. And if you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Probably Donald Trump. He's definitely a big inspiration too. He's very successful in real estate, and you know, he's just got a great mindset.
Well, tell the audience what you need, how can they help you, and how they can reach out to you.
Yeah, so Taylor Billman on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, definitely looking for multifamily commercial properties and Pennsylvania, Berks County, Chester County, Montgomery County. And yeah, if you want to network and learn anything else, or you know, talk about anything, I'm more than happy and open to networking.
Taylor, thank you for coming out to the show and hope to have you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Megan.
That was Taylor, everybody. At the beginning of the podcast, I told you to give you three actionable steps that you can do today in order to get you 1% closer to your goal of buying your next real estate investment. Before then, please like and subscribe if you enjoyed this podcast. It means the world to me and help the algorithm. Step one, find a mastermind or start a mastermind. Or start a meetup. Find an activity where you're getting a bunch of investors together in a room on a reoccurring basis, monthly, biweekly, weekly, whatever fits your criteria, fits what you can do, and network with them and make sure that you're consistently talking with them. As you heard, Taylor said that a mastermind was crucial to him building his portfolio. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Step two, read the complete guide to buying and selling apartment buildings. Taylor read it, changed his life, do the same for you. And step three, second book to read, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's the basics. It'll continue to refresh your mind on what's a liability, what's an asset. Till next time, stay ready.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at cinfin.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.